1 to 12. And I'd like us to just keep our Bibles open because I will be referring back to the text every now and then. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that your word will speak to us powerfully, that it will inspire our hearts to more faithfully follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At the end of verse 1, I would like us to notice something. The Magi from the east came to Jerusalem following a star. Now, some translations refer to them as wise men. Now, they were originally a priestly tribe in the Persian Empire. And as astronomers, they must have learned of the Jewish messianic expectation and therefore understood the significance behind the appearance of the star. And in Numbers 24, Balaam refers to the coming star from Jacob. Now, some may say that the star was just a conjunction of planets. That's quite hard if it's just a conjunction of planets, because how would those conjunction of planets shine enough light into a very particular location? And someone at the first service afterwards asked me, but how is this possible that a star that's generally outside of the earth is now inside? And I'm like, well, isn't that amazing that the God that we serve is that powerful and able to create a star that's able to shine light into a very particular location, even within our stratosphere? I definitely believe that God's able to do that, and did. I think the Magi too, because they walked for kilometers and hundreds of kilometers following the star all the way to Bethlehem. They understood the meaning behind the star as a sign for the coming king, the Messiah, the King of the Jews. And when they found Jesus, they worshipped him. However, when we look at Herod's response in the text, it's not a response of worship. Rather, he is extremely disturbed. The wise men's news deeply disturbed him because he knew that the Jews were expecting the Messiah to come soon. And most of the Jews expected this Messiah to be an incredible military leader that will overthrow the Roman Empire and restore Israel to its former glory. And this is why Herod the Great was deeply disturbed. Firstly, he was not the rightful heir to the throne of David at all. And so around every corner, he was concerned that somebody was going to come and try and overthrow his power. He was also a ruthless leader because of that. Any threat to his kingdom, he would just wipe out, just kill them on the spot. And he also didn't want the Jews to unite around anybody. Because if they unite around a figure, a religious figure, he knew that that figure could possibly overthrow his throne and his power and his reign. And then lastly, these wise men were of Jewish descent from Persia, which was the most powerful region next to Rome. And so if there was a king that was born out of their reign, his throne and his kingdom was definitely at risk. Herod knew that his time was running out when he heard about the star and the coming king of kings. All these things caused a great level of concern in Jerusalem as well, and rightfully so, because if we read further on in the text, what does Herod do? Kills babies, age 2 and under, baby boys, age 2 and under. He is so worried that his throne is going to be overthrown, that he's that ruthless to even kill children. Now, for both Herod and the Magi, these two options were placed in front of them. Here is the sign of the coming king of Israel, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. How are you going to respond, Herod? How are you going to respond to the sign, Magi? Christ has come. Will you seek and find the salvation of your eternal souls? Or will you hold on to your earthly throne only to find eternal death as its home? Will you seek the salvation of your soul? Or will you hold on to your earthly throne only to find eternal death as its home? We clearly see in the text the Magi chose to worship and seek the Lord. Herod did not. Now it must be said that Jesus was probably 1 or 2 years old by the time the Magi found him. Some scholars even think that by that time Joseph and Mary were married and they were settled in their home in Bethlehem and intended there to stay there for quite a while if you read Luke 2 verse 39 and onwards. And this is where I would like us to pause in the text this morning. On coming to the house, verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Herod stayed in his palace, built his own kingdom, and tried to preserve it. These guys got up, found Christ, and worshipped him. And then in their worship, they present these gifts to Christ. Now, if you attended This Is Christmas last week, spoiler alert, you kind of know what the gifts are all about. But just in case you didn't attend last week, here it is again. Gold was generally seen as a gift fit for a king. Frankincense was always used for a gift for deity. And myrrh was used as a spice or embalming oil for those who would soon be buried. Now, what strange gifts to give to a baby as we use in This Is Christmas. But little did the Magi know that in the very near future, Jesus Christ will be crowned King of Kings, Prince of Peace. The Son of God will be with us in flesh. And so offering gold is definitely an appropriate gift because he is the King of Kings. Offering frankincense to the Son of God is most certainly appropriate too. But little did they know that their myrrh gift was not misplaced at all. Little did they know that 30 years down the line, Christ would offer his body as a living sacrifice for all of us. Now, many of us would know that gold is extremely costly, even to this day. It was then extremely costly as well, so much so that mostly only kings and rulers could afford gold. And so when you received gold as a gift, it just increased your wealth. But here's a little detail about frankincense and myrrh as well. Now, frankincense is a fragrant gum resin that can be ground into a powder and then burnt as incense to produce a very pleasant smell. It was most often associated with myrrh and used together. However, frankincense can only be obtained from very specific trees. You and I will not find a frankincense tree in our garden in South Africa, unless you fly all the way to Somalia, which I would not recommend, or Arabia, and you go and find one. Good luck getting it here and planting it and making sure that it still stays alive for long enough for you in order to get your frankincense out of it. So the frankincense trees only grow in particular places. In order to get the frankincense out of the tree, you've got to drill in past the bark, quite deep into the tree, and then pull out the frankincense, and then do your thing, either crush it or make it into an oil. But in those times, they didn't have planes, helicopters, drills, or cars. The caravans and camels and hand tools. And so it was extremely costly to send somebody to go and get some frankincense for you. With myrrh, it was also a very, very delicate process and cost a lot of money. The one thing that is clear is that all these gifts were extremely expensive in their day. This didn't stop the Magi. They were willing to do everything, sacrifice everything in order to give these gifts to the Lord. And so when we read that they bowed down and worshipped Jesus Christ and then offered these gifts, you and I need to realize that they did this at great personal cost. This wasn't an afterthought for them. This was carefully planned. Incredible sacrifice. And some scholars even think that Mary and Joseph received these gifts so that they had the financial resources to go to Egypt and back with no worries at all. I think it could be both. That yes, the Lord plans that well, that he makes sure that Jesus has got enough money to get to Egypt and back. But also, God's that good that he made sure that these Magi offer these gifts to fulfill Old Testament prophecies, but also speak incredible truth about who Jesus was and what he was going to do for all of us. I want to focus now on the Magi. They bowed down and worshiped Christ and then offered these gifts to the Lord. This is the true essence of worship. Honoring Christ for who he is and being willing to give him whatever he needs to fulfill his mission on earth. This is the true essence of worship. You and I come and we offer all that we have to the Lord and say, here, Lord, use me as you see fit. Use all that I have for your glory and to ensure that your message reaches the far corners of the world. And so the same question is before us today. We get presented with the same glorious truth and the same sign. It's not a star, but it's a cross. In our Christmas and festive season, some of us do put a star on top of the Christmas tree. It's my prayer and hope that that star refers to the star of Christ. And it spreads that message when we celebrate Christmas. But maybe you've got a little angel, maybe today or this year, let's swap the angel for a star or a cross. So that when people look at our Christmas trees broadcast the message of Jesus Christ and not Father Christmas and the like. May our Christmas trees tell them of the good news of Jesus and the eternal hope that's available to them and to us. So that just like the Magi, we can celebrate Christmas worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Instead of, like Herod, trying to build our own thrones and keep it all together at all cost. Friends, this is my prayer for every single one of us. That when we're presented with the sign, we're presented with the cross and the good news of Jesus Christ, that our response to that gift is worship, not rejection. And that worship is a worship of all that we have at all cost. Because regardless of what you and I give, even the Magi realized this, they gave it their all, but they even realized that their gifts were minuscule in comparison to the gift of Jesus Christ and the eternal life that he would give to us and all who believed. And so the challenge for us today is this. As we journey towards Christmas, let us worship the Lord in all that we say and do. When we have lunch on Christmas Day, may we celebrate the birth of Christ and unpack that gift for our friends and family. In our words and our deeds, let us point them to Jesus at all times, at all cost. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are very grateful for your word to us today. We ask, Lord, that just as the Magi did, that we would respond in worship to your arrival in our lives. That we would do everything in our power to give glory to you. And may our words and our actions point others to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.